Lovely cushion header. Pajero!
Hey everyone, welcome to the LFC Couch. My name is Nish, your host. I have James Nicholson on the line. You there, buddy?
I certainly am, my friend. How are you going?
Very, very good. You should hopefully be hearing us in true high definition while we talk to each other from interstate. So you're recording yourself, right?
I certainly am. I can stop recording if you want.
No, keep going. We want our listeners to have the highest quality audio that is possible so they can hear us chat shit about the big game coming up. And that's the whole point of this couch pod thing is, we're leading up. There's a certain game this weekend. Do you remember what's going on?
Oh, it's that team in red and that other team that hasn't actually won a final in forever. I can't remember who they were. You might have to remind me.
They've never been to a Champions League final before, have they?
No, they have not. They have not. And they're about to come to their first one and leave empty-handed, I believe.
Nice. I was doing my research in the form of listening to the Anfield rap. So that's you. I was going for a long walk and I thought, let's listen to the Anfield rap and just hear what they're talking about. And I'm there going, they make some really good points. And I think something that we need to talk about is Spurs' lack of Champions League final and what that could mean mentally to their approach to this game. So obviously not copying what they said, but yeah, we have our own chat about that one particular thing. But we also went out there, for those of you listening who do listen to us and follow us on the socials, mostly Twitter, I hope, we did ask people for questions and shout outs and things like that. So thank you very much, everyone who sent their questions. We will be going through them. Hey. But first, I would like to give a couple of business shout outs out there. We did ask people, if you're red and you own or you work for a small business, let us know. More than happy to give you a shout out on the couch. We do get 15,000-odd listens on this bad boy, so let us know. It's pretty cool to make sure Reds work with Reds. So firstly, Jason O'Connell says to us, can we reach out and do a shout-out for imperiouswealth.com.au? So imperiouswealth.com.au, what they do, they're actually a firm from Perth. They recently opened up in Perth, Melbourne and Sydney with regulated offices in the UK and Ireland. What they do, they're actually helping returning Aussies save tax on their UK and Irish pensions. Shame about the Scottish though. So sorry, mate, James.
Yeah,
I'm not
going to
help you out. Just the UK and the Irish pensions. So yeah, if you guys are expats, please reach out, imperiouswealth.com.au. Speak to Jason O'Connell on Twitter if you like. He is Jason P. O'Connell in one word, and speak to him. So thanks very much, Jason, sending that across. And also Jay Patel, a longtime listener and friend of the couch, a really great guy. And as a fellow photographer, I'm very happy to give him a shout out. So he runs a little company called The Tenth Letter. .com.au, which is the numbers 10th letter .com.au. He's the 10th letter photography. He does corporate, he does weddings. Really great photographer. So please follow Jay Patel as well. He's Watford born as well, which is great. So a long time John Barnes fan and a big time Liverpool fan. So I see him down cheers all the time. So thank you. Those two sent in those requests to have a shout out. Hope you've enjoyed it. And thanks a lot for the question from Jason, which we'll get to a bit later. So those are the shout outs. Let's jump into it. We're in the Champions League final. Hey.
Yeah, it's a good place to be. I'm getting used to it again. I like it.
It's weird. Twice in a row.
Yeah.
I was there before we got into the final thinking, oh shit, 3-0 against Barcelona. Hey, let's look on the bright side like I normally do. We've pretty much cemented our spot as one of the top four in Europe. I mean, we are the most consistent. Clearly, this last couple of years, being in the final once, and then I thought going out in the semi-finals of this year, year of little faith to myself, we are the most consistent team in Europe over the last 2 years. Bloody hell. We're back.
Yeah, we are back, and damn right we deserve to be back as well. I think I had the same sort of feelings, to be honest, after the game at the new camp when we lost 3-0. I think initially it was after such fantastic performances, both in the league and in Europe previous against Bayern and Porto, you're on a high and you think anything's possible. And especially after the Lionel Messi scored his free kick, I just felt, is this it? Is this really where it has to stop now this point? But as the game at Anfield got closer, as much as I was like, well, you know, at least we got to a semi-final, you know, at the final last year, we're still improving, we're still moving forward. I thought something came up where just anything is possible, anything could happen. And what's the harm in just going for it? And now we're in another final. What a feeling.
It's bloody, it's emotional, isn't it? You're just there going, how do you handle yourself?
You can't. You really can't. If you love football as much as we love football, the emotion just takes over.
Yeah, and I think some of you have read it. There was it's a little. I was very privileged to be part of an article written by some guys on 10 Daily recently, and this was before the actual Premier League final. And then he went to me, hey, look, I'm a rugby league and a cricket guy. Should I go down to Cheers? Would there be a huge crowd at Cheers Bar for the Champions League semi-final? Do you think I should head down? I was like, look, mate, I don't know what the crowd's going to be like. We're already 3-0 down. I mean, we love our Reds, but it's going to be 5 a.m. You're not a Red yourself. You're getting into it. It may not be a very nice atmosphere in regards to, you know, we're probably not going to win, you know, and stuff like this.
Oh, I was
like,
no, mate.
And so... So he didn't go, but he wasn't planning to anyway. He didn't even wake up to watch the game in the end. So then but I did say, hey, look, but anything can happen. We've got a term or a saying called, you know, magical nights at Anfield, the magical European nights at Anfield, and anything could happen. So, hey, look, God knows, I'm hoping for the best, but, you know, expecting the worst at this particular time. And then when the game had gone and Origi's goal went in, I sent him a text going, magical nights at Anfield. And he's like, oh my God, I've just seen the score. So I've kind of converted him from a non-football watching person to now a Red, I think. So,
oh, brilliant. The more the merrier.
That's amazing. So Cheers must have been crazy. I wish I'd gone, but it's too hard with the work at the moment. But... bloody hell. How's life, man? Before we jump straight into it, I got to see you at the final of the Premier League. The final game of the Premier League. How you going, man?
Yeah, going good, going good. Had a fantastic time up in Sydney. It was all a bit of a rush that day. I was up at 5 a.m. that morning. I'd been working all day and then straight to the airport from there. But that was an experience that I'm very thankful for. It was fantastic to finally actually meet more people from the couch. That was definitely the highlight. It was great to prove that I am a real person. I do exist. I'm not just a voice on the internet.
You're not actually Andy Robertson.
Correct.
That disappointed me. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'll be honest.
That's okay. It's okay. You're not the only person I've disappointed in life, Nish. So you join a long list.
I'm in that boat too.
It's a big boat, I tell you. But life is good. The last couple of weeks, no matter what it is that I'm doing, everything is always followed by, it's only 21 days now until the final.
God.
19 days now until the final. It's less than 2 weeks now. It just takes over everything that I do.
Yeah. I've been in a weird situation where it's my end of financial year at work, and I'm in a new role where there's a lot of pressure on at the moment, and I haven't, well, it's been a blessing in disguise because I haven't had the time during those hours of about 7 a.m. through to about 6 p.m. I can't even think about Liverpool half the time, but I do bounce on Twitter a bit. But I'm so busy at work that it's actually taken me away from the thought, but I'm just like, bloody hell, okay. And then I get home and I start thinking about it going, oh my God, we've got like 5 days left, 5-6 days left. And it's just,
oh man.
I can't handle myself, but Let's talk about it. I kind of keep distracting ourselves from the truth. Oh, dear. It's all very scary. Should we go to a question first before we dive in? Because these questions are really good. I did pop out there and say, let's get some questions from the crowd. This one's going to be from Fuego Mass. He sent us four questions, but I'm going to choose number 3 on his list, which is, What's your favorite LFC Champions League moment? And I'm going to wipe out Istanbul for a second because it's the most obvious choice. So what is your favorite, Mr. James Nicholson, Champions League moment?
So we take out Istanbul. The good thing is there's still plenty of fantastic moments.
I know. We even have them in our intro music.
I was thinking about it, and I was even thinking if I don't think about this season's Champions League, if I do cast my mind back to a few years ago, or actually quite a few years ago now, there's the obvious Stevie G goal against Olympiakos. There is the heroics of last season, the Roma game at Anfield. I remember that game and just sitting on the edge of my seat and just I could not contain myself. It was just phenomenal. Nice. But probably, if I'm not referring to this season, I would say the Luis Garcia ghost goal against Chelsea.
Oh yeah,
that goal that took us to Istanbul. Well, that was absolutely phenomenal. The whole hoorah that came up about that and the discussions that it created and just the anger that it caused people, it was just fantastic because it didn't matter because we were in the final.
We didn't have social media back then. We were just like forums and... teletext, it feels like.
It was a different world. And even then, it was... You could still hear how much if like people either loved it or hated it or just got so angry about it. But if I think to this year and this season, it will be the Trent Alexander-Arnold sneaky corner and Divock Origi being on his toes and putting it into the top corner and then sending us on our way.
That was special. I've got two, which I'm going to choose from the group stages of this year because they're a little bit underrated, but it's massive. It's without these moments, we wouldn't be where we are today. And it feels like a lot of our season's been built on those moments. So I'm going to say Bobby Firmino's goal versus PSG.
Oh, yes.
Oh, mate, my head just popped off. How's that going?
That celebration as well.
Oh, and you see the ball go through like two sets of legs. You see this, and he came on as well, didn't he? So he was substituted on.
Yeah, he came on for Sturridge, I believe.
Yeah, and Sturridge, I think that was just after the Chelsea game, maybe. So Sturridge had scored a good goal and stuff. But man, Bobby coming on, we need that win, you know, and we know how badly we need the win now. That moment goes and scores that. And the other one is Alisson's save against Napoli.
I thought that would be it.
Yeah, it's just so huge. So huge.
Big moment.
And people go straight at him and stuff. But, you know, what else do you do in 3 weeks leading up to a final? You watch every compilation video you can find on every player.
That's it. YouTube has been ransacked.
Oh, it's exactly like I think Liverpool fans have just added more to Google's ad revenue than any other demographic in the world. So, oh man, that save again, your head just goes,
it's phenomenal. That just defines how important Alisson has been for us this season.
Yeah,
that one save. If you just took that one save and forget about all the other amazing things that he's done between the sticks this season, he's just unbelievable. Absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely huge. All right, on to the game itself. Jonty Wallace Miles does ask a very, very good question. Thank you, Jonty. He asks, should we be hoping Kane stays injured or would he be preferred to be fit?
That's a good question. At first, when I read the question, I thought, you know, I'm not arsed if he starts or not. I'm not bothered about Spurs. I'm bothered about Liverpool and what we're doing. But the more I read the question, the more I was like, you know what? Actually, what's Kane's history like? So I actually looked at maybe the second half of the season. I know he's been injured and he's missed quite a lot of games, but I looked at the games where he played with Son up top as well, or wherever Heung-min Son just sat behind him. And it was interesting because to me, Son Heung-min, however you say it, has been absolutely fantastic in the time that Harry Kane's been absent. But when they're playing together, it's almost one does really well and the other one's not as effective. And to me, I'd be quite happy to see Harry Kane start. He's a great player. He's really good. But if that takes the limelight and the ball away from Son a little bit more, because I feel he's a more dangerous player, I'm quite happy with that. Although, as I was going to say at the start, I'm more concerned about what Liverpool are doing and what we're going to do to set up. But yeah, if he's available and he starts, that's fine. I have no issue with that at all.
Yeah, it's I'm going to be talking to an old friend on Twitter called Babu Yagu. I'm sure a lot of you probably know who he is if you're on Twitter. Guy has created some of the greatest threads on players and statistics and stuff like that. People talk a lot about Simon Brundish and his statistical analysis online. I think Babu Yagu's right up there, if not better. So if you don't follow him, give him a follow. He's an Irishman that lives in Brazil. Would you believe? Not the most obvious Liverpool fan. So can't wait to talk to him in a couple of days, maybe tomorrow night. We'll see how we go, depending on my schedule, unfortunately. But this is one of the big questions I'm bringing up with him on a statistical basis this year, because we know Kane is amazing. I'll give you one hint that Kane has scored more goals against Liverpool than any other player.
Wow. Is that any other player in the Spurs side?
I don't know. I'm going to save that for later. I think Aguero must be up there. But it's five goals, but still.
Interesting.
You got to think about it. So I'm going to go into that in a bit more detail with Babu. Babu Yagu, I think his real name is like Stephen Denning, but Babu Yagu sounds better.
Yeah, I didn't think that was his actual name from birth.
Oh, man. What should we call him? I don't know. We'll give him a traditional Irish name. Let's call him Babu Yagu. I've got to ask him where the hell that name came from. So that'll be one of my questions. Cool. Yeah, so for Kane, I'm with you. I think Spurs do not actually play better when he's on the pitch, but he's such a threat too. So I don't like Son being made man because he's so damn important. He's so damn scary with the ball and can pull out a goal out of nothing. So I think because he hasn't played in so long, I would like to see Kane play because we're such a ferocious team. Surely he's not going to be able to get up to speed. And we can just see how little we are able to even get a normal 11-a-side game against opposition right now in training.
Mm, yeah.
Kane's not going to have very good warm-up. So I'm going to say, yes, I want him to play. For those reasons, I'm out. No, for those reasons. next question, Arkan LFC, who's an old friend from Canada. So he says, at what point will Origi play? Or in what capacity, should we say, will Origi play?
Yeah, that was a really good one because he's been very very much in that starting 11 the last few weeks. And he's played a very important role. A lot of it's dependent on where Klopp and the medical team think Bobby Firmino's at, whether he's ready to start, if he's good to go back in from the beginning. My gut feeling, which of course is completely irrelevant, says that Firmino will start and Origi will take some time from the bench in the second half. I think he'll be used as the game starts to drag on a little bit, around about 65th, 70th minute, depending purely on where the game's at. My thoughts are, or what I'm hoping actually is, that Liverpool will have a 1-0 or a 2-0 lead at that point. Origi's introduction is there to really tire out the defenders and really make sure that they're still working and not the players who are playing left and right back, so whether that's Danny Rose and Kieran Trippier, aren't able to push forward and support that front line and continue to be a threat. Because as we had seen, I think Origi was recorded as the third fastest attacker in the season, or he had the third fastest sprint recorded in the season, I think it was. And if he comes on and he's fresh legs and he's got the energy, he'll just make them work and continue to work, and he'll give them something else to think about. So that's the capacity I see him playing in. No doubt Matty Lyon will think that he'll come on and win three corners and do nothing else, but everyone's entitled to their opinions on Divock Origi.
Yeah. I wouldn't be shocked if he starts, in my opinion, purely because, again, Firmino hasn't played in a bit due to his injuries. He did score two very crucial goals, obviously, against
Huge
Barcelona.
Huge goals.
Yeah, pretty damn spectacular big cock Origi goals. So you can't really be shocked if he does start despite Firmino being there, because we have seen against PSG, we've seen him against Stoke, we've seen him against all kinds of teams what our man Bobby Firmino can do from the bench.
That's right.
Yeah, it's one of those ones where maybe he is good because, again, the lack of game action he's had. Maybe he is good for 30 minutes off the bench. He'll definitely come off the bench if Origi starts. Firmino will definitely come off the bench. It's just depending on how much. Maybe he could come on for a midfielder in some capacity, play as an attacking mid, supporting Origi, or Origi goes out left and Mane goes central and Firmino drifts about again. You know, there's so many options. We've got such a versatile team.
Yeah,
it's a shit lot stronger than Spurs. So I'm hoping we have a wrapped up by halftime. So to be honest, so we don't have all these decisions to make.
I'll be more than happy with that.
Yeah, it's absolutely mad. So I think Origi will start, and there'll be a Twitter fume, and then he'll score like a goal in the first half, and then we'll be two up in the first half, and people will be like, ah, yeah, okay. Okay, fair enough. And then
it'll be like when Adam Lallana started against Burnley.
Oh, yeah.
And everyone went mad, and he got man of the match.
Yeah, weird, hey?
Yeah, typical Twitter fume.
Oh, it's just crazy. Like, just let Klopp make the decisions. Every time Klopp has come out in the second half of the season and said, I've picked this guy out of nowhere, Naby Keita, for instance, because he's done well in training. I've picked Origi because he's done really well in training. Well, and then guess what? They've done really well. So well, just shut up and let the man do his job. To put it bluntly. I'm seeing Babu Yagu right now on Twitter actually having discussions with Simon Brundish about Spurs statistics. I'm like, ooh, he's got some stuff ready for us. So I'm actually quite excited. Let's see. Speaking to that point, our mate Nads has got a question saying analytics and their place in modern football. We've seen all over the place people talking XG, XGA, all this expected A's and blah, blah, blah. Your thoughts, and I don't know if you read the article I shared recently about the is it Ian Graham? Ian Edwards? Oh, I've forgotten his name already. The magical statistician behind Klopp, behind Michael Edwards and those guys. I think it's Graham or Ian or something. Anyway, what are your thoughts? Analytics and their place in modern football?
With analytics, I think naturally as the game grows and the way that you can watch the game and actually analyze the game grows, these things are going to come up. I think they're important. I do think they stand for something. I think I'm just quite interested to see where it goes and what more can actually come from it. To be honest, I enjoy it. I enjoy reading it. I enjoy seeing the stats and seeing what they relate to. It's with stats in general, that's the thing. Sometimes they're just stats and they don't actually stand for anything. But I think as modern football grows, you're only going to see more of it. I don't have an issue with it at all. I think it's going to be something that just naturally happens more and more.
Yeah. And as long as people I'm the same boat, obviously. I'm in the same boat. But as long as people recognize that there will never, ever, ever, ever be a set of stats that paint the entire picture of a football match.
And I think that's the most important thing as well. Stats are exactly that.
Yeah. It's like Bobby Firmino rating him on goals. Well, then you're a bit of an idiot.
Exactly.
So you're not a good striker because you only scored X. Yeah, look. And it's really hard to explain to people why we love Bobby Firmino so much. It's like you just have to watch him play. You just have to appreciate the footballer and the brain and the mind and the positioning and the off the ball running and stuff you can't get in statistics. I'm sorry, no matter how detailed you get.
And that's exactly right. But like I say, football's not played on a piece of paper. So yeah, football's right. played on a pitch. And as much as stats can be used to highlight the best of certain things, people can twist it and highlight the worst of things. But it's all people's own opinion. I think at the end of the day, it's what you physically see on the football pitch that forms a more true opinion.
Definitely. All right, back to the Champions League final. 120 minutes are gone. It's nil all. I know. It's everyone's out on the floor. We've got Jordan Henderson. He's just been sprinting for 120 minutes, giving us all. But unfortunately, it's deadlocked. We're at penalties. Who steps up first for Liverpool?
I don't know, mate. I'm hiding behind the sofa. No, I made my list. I actually wrote this down, and there's a lot of scribbles on it, and arrows, and
I haven't done mine yet, so I'm doing mine on the fly.
All right, here we go. So, first up is Jimmy Milner.
Yep, I'm the same.
Safety first. The man knows where the back of the net is from the penalty spot.
Yep.
You're guaranteed to be one goal up at that point.
Where does he put it?
As long as it's in the back of the net, mate, I don't care.
I'm trying to get you in the mode, man. Come on, where does he place it? I'm starting to sweat just thinking about it. Come on, where does he put it?
Puts it at bottom right.
Bottom right, that's what I was thinking too.
Yeah.
Keeper dives the same way, just too good for him there.
Too strong.
Too strong. Too good.
That's
too
it.
Strong. Wait, I forgot to mention, man, the Spurs keepers have been shit the last time we faced them, haven't they?
They have been real poor. I think the last game was Hugo Lloris who spilled it, and then before that was it Michel Vorm?
Yeah.
That was in goal.
It was really funny. Because, yeah, obviously that final goal that went in was like deflected off him. He decided to punch it out and it went into Alderweireld's legs or something like that or someone. It's just, and he tried to kick it, but he kicked the floor instead.
Yeah.
Just rolled into the goal. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so hopefully that works in our favour if it does go to penalties. But at the same time, I hope to God it doesn't go to penalties.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So there you go. Hugo Lloris has just slammed his fist into the ground because he thought he could have got there, but Milner is just too good. They score. It's tight, it's tense. Who comes up next for Liverpool?
Mo Salah.
Where does he put it?
He puts it top right.
I'm not going to go for Mo Salah. I don't like Mo Salah on penalties.
Why?
He just fills me with nerves. He fills me with a person that just runs up and wants to hit it hard. And yeah, he scored a penalty to send Egypt through, but it was such a shit penalty. It was so shit. I'm happy for the man, but far out. You do not hit it waist high just to the left of a goalkeeper. Like, it's just such a shit spot to put a penalty. It's, fuck's sake. That means even if he dives in that direction, as in aiming for the post, or if he leans over, or he dives the opposite direction, the keeper sticks his leg up, he will still hit that ball. But he has scored a decent amount before.
Yeah, you can't judge him on one penalty. He's taken quite a few penalties and he's put them away.
Yes, he has. I'm going to go with Fabinho.
Interesting.
I'm not going to even bother talking about his record beforehand. We know he's got a good record, but I think I'm more comfortable with someone like Fabinho taking that one.
Yep. No, that's fair.
And Fabinho slides at bottom left.
I have Fabinho taking number 3.
Okay, I've got Firmino taking number 3. And that is one is, I don't know, you tell me, where does Fabinho put it?
Well, based on his history, seeing as you won't go into it, he will go bottom left, because that has been the place he's usually put it when he's been playing for Monaco.
Nice. Firmino, he has got the runs up, stutter steps, goalkeeper moves to one direction, he just slides it whichever direction. I'm going to say bottom, not bottom right, but even just, he just rolls it, kind of like Coutinho used to do sometimes. He knows the keeper's beat. Just taps it, turns away, puts his finger in his ear, listens. Brilliant. But then Spurs come back and score their third as well. It's tight. The tension's up. Who steps up now?
Oh, man, I'm sweating. This one I really struggled with, my last two. But I went with Trent Alexander-Arnold.
Oh, very good pick.
The boy is fantastic with a dead ball, whether it's a free kick from the edge or from the side. Deadly accurate. Good power, good pace, good height. I think he can do the same from the penalty spot.
Yeah. I'm going to go Genie Wijnaldum. I just get the feeling that he's got a level of maturity and calmness about him.
Yep.
And I think you'll just fucking thunder bastard that ball as well. And it just goes straight down the middle and just he turns and does his big yell and his teeth blind the planet. So yeah, that's that one. That's number four. But then Spurs come back and score. They go, Alisson gets a finger to this one, but it still goes in the net somehow. Who's number five?
Bobby Firmino.
I feel like we need tension music. Oh, you've gone Bobby for number five.
Bobby Firmino, number five, Panenka.
Just to rub it in. Okay, I'm going to go with Jordan Henderson.
Ah, good. Yeah.
I think if he's still got legs at that point, don't know if he's still standing, if he hasn't injured himself and he's got blood coming out of his eyeball and he's got like a huge gaping wound in his leg, but he's still running on it, bone appearing. He's like, I'm fine.
It's just a flesh wound.
And then Hendo. Oh, where does Firmino put it?
It's Panenka, right down the middle. Panenka,
that's right. Yeah. Jordan, I'm going to say top right. He just whacks it.
Yeah, he knows what he's doing.
So. Yeah. Okay. But then Spurs score again. Let's keep going. I'm going to.
Oh, mate.
Who's up now?
Sadio Mane.
Nice.
And if it's not Sadio Mane, then it's Origi.
Oh, God. I don't trust either of those two people, I'll be honest.
That's why they weren't in my top five.
Okay. Man, really depends on who's on the field. I won't be shocked if Virgil stands up, to be honest. He's a dead ball taker as well.
Yep.
I think Virgil can do it. Calm head, and he'll just walk up, hit it, turn, not even shout, just fuck it. Yeah,
walk away.
His job. That's it.
Simple stuff.
He'll put his hand up to his nose and like you know, brush the nose a bit, walk back, fucking all in a day's job. Spurs do it. One more goal. We got one more. Who's number seven?
For me, it was Virgil. I've based that off his dead ball history at Celtic. He didn't take many free kicks, but when he did, they were fast.
Yeah.
And they were unstoppable as well. I have no doubt that he hangs back at training and just pings them in the back of the net for fun.
Yeah, definitely. My last one is going to be Shaqiri off the bench because he came on off the bench. I'm going to say Shaqiri, number seven, who ends up being the winner for us since he's already won the Champions League with Bayern before. Little midget Shaqiri, and we'll see his little fucking bulldog arms just running around. Just everyone chasing after him and they can't actually catch him. And he's just, he just gets tackled and then everyone dives on him and then he just stands up and everyone flies away like out of a manga comic.
It's the cube.
Suddenly there's a big lightning bolt into the sky. A hammer comes down and he catches it. It's just all kinds of stuff. It's all going crazy in Madrid. that's how it finishes. The person who misses at the end will be Danny Rose, I reckon.
Oh,
because fuck Danny Rose, to be honest.
I would have said they would have put Llorente on the pitch.
Oh wow!
And saved them for sudden death. Human.
He's such a waste, isn't he?
That's why I'm not too concerned about their options up top.
Yeah, crazy. Do you think there's going to be many VARs and VAR decisions in this game?
I haven't really thought about it, actually. I hope not. I hope the game is allowed to flow as much as it can. And if there are any decisions that have to be looked back, it's they keep it efficient, because there's been some instances this season where I think in the second leg with Barcelona, there might have been one incident where they checked a goal. It took them 10 seconds. They said, nope, all good, and it was done. Whereas at the Man City Tottenham game, it was just stop, start. It just got silly. So I don't think there will be many big VAR decisions. I just hope there isn't, to be honest, because it just, as useful as it is, it just does my head in with the time that it takes. It's just not efficient enough yet.
Yeah, definitely. We'll see how it goes. I mean, without football for 3 odd weeks, our boys are probably not going to, well, neither team's going to be very match fit, so they'll probably be like punching the ball and going, oh, just give us a VAR decision so we can have a break.
Please.
Let's pick it up, eat the ball or something. Oh, Jesus. So I think it's going to be, unfortunately, I think it's going to be riddled with VAR decisions. I'm just praying it's going to be in our favor. But those are the things that are going to give me heart attacks, because it's going to be stoppages for like 2 or 3 minutes at a time. And then it's going to end up in 8 minutes of extra time when we're leading by one goal. And I'll be just pissing my pants the entire time. It'll be an 8 minute piss. I'll have no idea where it's all coming from, but it'll be still coming. What a disgusting thought that is.
Just the thought of all this is absolutely killing me. I've still got sick, like 5 days to wait before this game.
It's crazy, isn't it? So I'm going to put you back into another situational, because here's a question from Jason O'Connell. So I'm going to put you in the mood. It's 1-1. 80 minutes have gone. We need that goal. We currently on the field have got Fabinho, Hendo and Wijnaldum.
Yep.
And we know we need to have a bit more of an attacking force to try and sneak a goal. So do we bring on Milner and push Genie forward? So I guess Milner for maybe Fabinho, I guess, and push Genie forward. It doesn't matter who he comes on. Just pretend that Milner comes on and Genie goes forward. Or do we just bring on Ox?
I would bring on Milner. Mm-hmm. I would love to bring on Oxlade-Chamberlain. I love the fairy tale story that could be. But at 1-1, you want to shore up the middle. You want fresh legs in there that can hassle Spurs in the middle and then allow Genie to push and give the attackers that extra option. What a horrible question. James Milner, because then we'll push. Tottenham will get fatigued. They'll give away a penalty, and Jimmy Milner will step up and score the winning goal with a penalty in the 85th minute.
Yeah. Do you think Salah will try and steal the ball off him?
I would not argue with Jimmy Milner in the 85th minute of a Champions League final. If Mo Salah wants to do that, he's more than welcome to, but he ain't winning, I'm telling you.
Imagine if that happened in the Champions League final. I'd be like, come on, man.
Oh, now's not the time.
That's not the time. Sit down. You got plenty of fans. It's all good, bro.
Yeah, you'll be fine, good. Mate. You'll be fine.
Oh, my God. This is so scary. I think, just hearing talking about this, I think Jimmy Milner is going to have a massive part to play in this final. Even if he's not starting, I think it's one of those games where you look at it and you go, there's going to be a lot of tired legs. You're going to need some ferocity. It's one thing that Milner's really brought to this team, especially in these later years, is that angst and that niggle and that sliding in at people's legs and just letting them know that he's there. And he will absolutely snap them if they even get close to him. And so I think he's going to be huge. And then he's very calming and very knowledgeable and knows when to lay off. The thing I don't like about James Milner is he does slow down the play a hell of a lot when he's on the ball, but he's so damn valuable off the ball.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be huge to us. That's all I can do. Let's do another question as well. We've got a few from Fuego. We've already done. Okay, let's do our Twitter five-a-side squad. Let's just get away from the final for just 5 seconds.
Oh, God.
Okay. Take a breath.
Yeah.
Pick who's going to be your we'll do six-a-side, because then we can have a goalkeeper.
Oh, so beautiful.
Who's your safe option in goal?
Steve Wilding.
Steve. S777 dub.
Yeah, S777 dub is in goals. The man has played in goal before. and there's no one, there's nobody I feel safer around. So easy option there. Done.
Nice. I'm going to pick a guy called Big Lee Andrew. He's based out of Liverpool. He's apparently absolutely fucking massive. So, and that's why he's actually called Big Lee. So he wanted to meet up with me when I went to Liverpool. And I was like, it was a little bit of a sigh of relief when I didn't, purely because I think he's like 6'7". He'll just look at me, puny mortal, and stare me down. So Big Lee Andrew, I'm going to pick you as my goalkeeper. All right, who's your two centre-backs? Well, two defenders.
So, two defenders. I have gone first off for James Pearce.
Good, nice.
And I did this on the fly. It was really quick. So I was trying to work out who's actually on Twitter and who could I go for. Mm-hmm. And I noticed that Jamie Carragher was on Twitter. So I thought, bugger it. James Pearce and Jamie Carragher can look after the goals, look after Stevie and the sticks. So that'll be fine.
Okay. How about we just stick with non-famous people?
No, I'm struggling.
Maybe not non-famous, but at least people that you interact with a bit.
Oh, I might need to come back to you in a minute on that one then.
I'm going to go with Peter Kafinas because he's a big bastard as well.
I've got Peter in the middle.
Okay, yeah. So Peter Kafinas can be at the back there. I'm going to have Rich as well because every time I fall over, Rich is there to pick me back up. Rich Northants. There you go. It's Peter and Rich at the back. I'll try not to pick all couch folks, so I'll stick that. Midfield, you got Peter Kafinas?
Yep, I got Peter Kafinas. And I stuck myself in the middle, actually. I thought I'd be a little engine in the middle, if that was allowed.
Nice. I'm going to stick myself up forward because I'm a glory hog. No good. But, you know, I'll probably try a bunch of tricks and fall over, but I'll be up front just in case I can sneak a goal here and there. My midfield, I'm going to go with Nads. He's just a controller. I'll go with Nads. He's always good. He'll calculate and he'll probably hack the game somehow, find a way to win, even though we're like 10 goals behind. So, all good. Who do you have up front?
So I've got one up front. It's the superstar, because that's where you want your stars to be. So that's George.
George.
And Jorge. Then just behind George, I have one of my mates from Scotland who I interact with on Twitter quite a lot, Ross, who would just bust a gut for the entire game.
I like it.
Yeah, so Sinky 91.
Nice. I'm going to have Silent KW1, or Silent KW now, Kristen Wilkinson. Because she knows how to draw defenders. Oh, shit.
Oh, shit.
You see what I did there?
If I knew that's how we were doing it.
Oh, damn. I only just thought of it just then as well. Oh. She draws the defenders, lets me go in and score the goal.
Oh, on the fly.
Fuck yeah.
That's not fair.
Proud of myself on that one. Cool. You were missing defenders? Have you picked any?
No, I really haven't, to be honest. Right. I'm just going to play with four players and just hope that Steve's actually good in goals. And if he's not, then he's never playing for my team again.
He's the same height as me as well, like 5'7".
He'll be fine.
He's a nippy little bastard. It's fine. Oh, Jesus. Okay, back to the final. We keep bouncing in and out.
Oh, God.
Ooh, bloody hell. Okay, back to the final. Here we are. Jesus, it's a lot of questions. We've seen a lot of training. Have you seen the inside trainings?
I've not actually watched them yet. No.
Okay, there's a really good one. The one that just got released on the YouTube channel, and it's Pep Linders who's actually running 6-a-side games or 5-a-side games. I think it's 5, 6-a-side, whatever. Fascinating team build-ups. You see all the players at the start complaining because they have like a 5-a-side team which had Virgil van Dijk, Joe Gomez, and Fabinho. And they're like, what's going on here? This is insane. How are we supposed to score a goal? And that team obviously ends up in the final. But yeah, just look out for it. So the question came from Nads again. He goes, have you any comments on Pep Linders and his growing influence on our team?
I think for that one, I was actually thinking about all the hoo-ha that was made about Buvac after he left, and everyone was very much a big believer that now that Buvac is gone, it's all going to go downhill for Liverpool. And it hasn't, which is great. But I also think the work that Pip Linders does to support Klopp and the team, it almost goes unnoticed by anyone who's really not into what happens outside the 90 minutes of football. I think his influence, not only just in creating the tactics, creating the drills, everything like that, but actually his influence on getting the players to work and more and more and more and really pushing themselves is huge. You watch him when he does the training. He at times he acts like he's one of the lads. The next minute he's pushing them to their ultimate limit. But the players respond to it so well. I think as much as Klopp is the front of everything that is the management side of the Liverpool squad, I don't think you can underestimate Pep Linders or is it Peter Krawitz as well?
Yeah.
And the rest the of brain. The staff. I think it's I think they are hugely influential, and it would actually, and I still have to read Pep Linders' interview with James Pearce, actually.
Yeah, I go do that too, yeah.
Yeah, but apparently that was hugely insightful into the amount of work that they actually do and the research that goes into everything they analyse. I think Peter Kafina spoke about it on a pod a few weeks ago, and even just listening to the part that Peter was talking about was really interesting, just to gain a slight insight into what actually goes on.
Yeah. It's mad. And you see as well that he went off in, Nyberg, I can't even pronounce the club that he went in and managed. It must have done him the world of good. I'm sure you've all seen it in your careers and stuff when a person goes off and leaves for greener pastures, goes away, and then comes back a year or two later. And one thing, A, they appreciate where they are even more. Yeah. And B, they always learn something when they go away. They always pick up things. They come back as a more intelligent, more mature individual who adds a lot more value to the company. And they generally stay for a lot longer because they recognize how good they've got it. I think that's exactly what's happened with him, where he knows he's got, just like a player, they've got a lot to learn, and his career is going to be very, very, very long. So, man, I'm more than happy. I think, I can't remember if you've just mentioned this or not, but a big part of it was when they're talking about Pep, Klopp just goes, yeah, you've got it. What are you doing this week? What, you've got it. I'll let you run it completely.
Yeah.
And just that trust he has in them just must make him feel like 10 foot tall every single time.
I don't think you could be luckier to have someone who allows you to do that, no matter what working environment you're in. I think his experience that he got when he went to the Netherlands to coach NEC, I think it
NEC,
was.
NEC, that's
what. Yeah. Whether it was a successful spell or not for him, I think you're absolutely right. I think the experience that he would have gained would have been hugely valuable.
Yeah.
Because he's now the front man. He's now doing it by himself. So then to come back and be at this huge institution with this icon of a coach who says, yep, cool, you've got this, on you go, mate.
Yeah.
Wow.
So to summarize, bring back Buvac, that's what you're saying?
Yeah,
bring him
front
back.
And center.
Yeah, our tack's gone to shit.
Yeah, FSG out, mate.
Yeah, that's it, all together now. Bloody weirdos. All good. Okay, the final, what do you really think is going to happen? What's your score prediction?
I think we're going to win 2-0. That's my prediction.
Nice.
I think we're going to get an early goal. I think we're going to catch Tottenham by surprise. They're not going to be ready for it. I think we'll get another one just after, about 10 minutes after halftime. And then from there, Tottenham will try and push, and they'll give us a fright for about 10, 15 minutes. And Virgil van Dijk will do what he does best. And 90 minutes will come, the whistle will go, and Jordan Henderson will lift old big ears.
Mm. You know what's funny, in this whole conversation, we've never even mentioned Lamella, despite him scoring a hat trick against Ajax, because I think everyone actually knows that was a fluke.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Oh, you mean not? It wasn't Lamella.
Lamella. Jeez, I keep getting him mixed up. Yeah, that Brazilian guy,
Lucas Moura.
Lucas Moura. Jesus, sorry, Lucas, not Lamella. Yeah, I think we've all watched him play all season long. He's not actually that good.
He's had moments.
Yeah, he's had moments. And that was definitely one of the better moments of his entire career. Oh, yeah. But it's also a big reason why we're not actually saying, oh, he's a big danger man. He's not. Let's just be honest.
No, he's not. He started getting all the plaudits after his performance against Manchester United earlier in the season. And people seem to forget that he was playing against Manchester United, which my gran looks good against Manchester United. So it was
What was the final game of the season? What happened the last game of the season against? Was it a crap team called Cardiff? What happened there at Old Trafford?
You mean the greatest team in Wales, Cardiff, beating the worst team in England?
That's the one.
That's... To go to Old Trafford after you're already relegated and to walk away with a 2-0 win, as elated as you would be, you'd be sitting there thinking, how the fuck we just beaten Man United 2-0, like, and we're the ones getting relegated. How shit are these guys?
Oh, it's insane. That was the only bright point. Oh, not the only bright point, but that was one of the small things that made me smile at the end of that night, where I was just like, look, we didn't get the title, but you know, fuck Man United.
Yeah.
Basically.
That's it. If something's going to put a smile on your face, it might as well be that.
They're literally wading through knee-high shit. Just. Anyway. Sorry. It's just great. After so many years of copying so much bullshit from Man United fans, to finally just laugh and point and say, now you know, even the greatest team in the world can topple at some point and go through a bad patch. We were the greatest team in the world for a solid 2 decades.
Yep.
No one thought that we could ever drop. And lo and behold, we go eighth, seventh, or whatever it was on the Sooners. You know, it happens to the very best of us, but to have the arrogance and the cockiness to think that you are way bigger than anybody and it can never happen to you, guess what? I hope you guys better realize you just had an amazing manager who took Aberdeen to European finals and won them trophies, and they haven't won one since. So calm your pants, time to humble yourself, and you're just lucky that they built a commercial success in the meantime. So otherwise they'll be relegated.
Oh, they'd be done for.
Yeah. If without the commercial success, how much money they spent now? Totally against the Sir Alex Ferguson style, where he would just pick out one player or two players here and spend big money on them. Now they're buying 5 players. Anyway, forget them. Who wants to talk about them? They're Dunskies. Okay. I'm personally thinking that the final is going to be a bit of a whitewash. I think it's going to be a disappointing one for the neutrals. And I can't wait. I think we're going to score 2, possibly 3 in the first half. 2, possibly 3 in... 2-2 in the second half. I reckon it'll be maybe like a 4-0 win.
Oh,
so it's going to be very disappointing. Yeah. I think it's going to be one of those ones where at the end of the game, we're just passing around our back line, just do-do-do while we're all singing. Because it's going to... We have to take this into account, everybody, if you aren't listening. So not a single Tottenham fan thought that they're going to get to the final. I'm sure a few of them did, but no one was probably brave enough to book tickets and book flights and book hotels. Liverpool knew a day earlier. Liverpool have got a hell of a lot more fans, and people are going there without having tickets. They're going to be piling in. Spurs found out 24 hours later, and there were no more flights left. So no matter what, Liverpool fans are going to find a way to get into that stadium, because they always do, and they're going to be screaming and shouting like Madrid is actually Anfield, and it's going to be deafening for those boys. I just can't see it feeling like a neutral venue whatsoever. And with those Reds right behind them, it's going to be immense. They're going to be shitting themselves. Let's talk about the psychology, but the whole first time getting to a final. I'm going to ask your opinion. This is the thing I'm taking from Anfield Rap, so apologies if you feel like I'm full plagiarizing. I'm not. It's just an interesting conversation I like to keep going. So they mentioned the whole being big boys, being the underdogs versus being the front runners, and how they mentioned on there that Liverpool have always liked to be the underdogs. They've always liked to be the ones who come up and, you know, break through the ashes, and that's really what we were last year. We're against Real Madrid. while Real Madrid were the big boys. They've won it twice before. They knew we were tough. But this is the third final in a row. And they went in there with a certain swagger. They've been there. They've done it before. They're the top dog. And really, we should have won that game. We should have won that game. We performed better. We probably had better form going into the final. We had arguably a much scarier squad. But they did it. I think a lot of that was psychological. And now I think that is reversed now against Spurs. So, James, I'm going to ask your opinion. What are your thoughts, thinking on a psychological standpoint, thinking about the Spurs players as well and their mindset going into this game?
I think with the Spurs players, I think their psychological position maybe in the last couple of weeks, probably since they beat Ajax and obviously knew that they were going to Madrid for the final. I think because it's their first final, it's a lot of their players' first time getting to such a prestigious final. At first, it's probably, you know, obviously they're feeling elated, feeling confident. We're in the final. We can do anything. Anything's possible. I think where it changes is when it gets to the day before the final, the day of the final, on that bus ride to the stadium with all the noise. Because I think your previous point, I think you're spot on. I think it will be Madrid is red. I think that will be the hashtag that's going out in the days up to the final. And I think that's when it'll start to kick in. Shit, this is the biggest final that we will play in, that we may just ever play in. And I think that's when the nerves will start to set in, because they won't be used to it. Yeah, they're a big club, and they've played at Wembley, and you know they've now got a big fancy new stadium, but they haven't played in a game like this. They haven't played in a game of this magnitude. They have played in the Champions League semi-final, of course, and the quarterfinals, and their big games as well. But when you get to the final, the build up and the excitement, the amount of time the players have to spend talking about it with the media prior, it is constant, and I think that will start to eat away at them a little bit, and then doubt might start to set in. And if doubt sets in with one player, it's going to naturally start to rub off on the next player. And as much as there might be a lot of people that they're saying, I think they'll be, you know, anything's possible, you know, we've got nothing to lose. I think it will start to eke away at them a little bit. Whereas with Liverpool, I think because we've got the experience and the hurt from last year, I think the boys will be determined to put it right. They know what it's all about. They know what they've got to do. They know this Tottenham side. And I think they'll channel it in the right way, and they'll focus on what they have to do. And I think I think they'll have a lot stronger mindset because of last year.
Definitely. And you have to think about it this way. Do you honestly believe, as a Spurs player, that you'll be back in the final next year?
Well, that's it.
I just don't think any of them believe that they probably even have a shot as a player to ever play in the final again. And that can do two things psychologically to a person. One, they can go, I'm going fucking full Superman here. This is it. This is my one shot. You only got one shot. Do not miss your chance to book. This opportunity comes once in a lifetime. Losing the hoops. Anyway, sorry. You can either go that way, or B, which is probably the most likely, that they're going to sit there and be in awe of the moment of being there. Is like, I can tell my kids now, I played in the Champions League final. And them losing it may be still just like a, look, you know, we had an amazing run and, you know, we did as best as we possibly could. And they're probably already preparing their own little, I've lost speeches you know, in their head, telling themselves, look, at least you made it this far, rah, rah, you can tell your kids about it now. That day we played an amazing Liverpool team, but who cares about them? We were in the Champions League final. We're in the biggest competition in the world. That's the other side of the coin, where Liverpool last season, I think we knew we had an amazing team. We knew we could probably get there again in the next few years because we're building something. We had investment behind us and the club's moving in the right direction, all this kind of jazz. But I think also it's just been such a long stint between drinks, you know, since the Champions League final of, what was it, 2007?
Yeah.
So, you know, it's been over 10 years sort of thing, and there was a whole new set of players. The club's completely different since back then. And for them to then be there, I think mentally, again, that was their final, that was their win, being in the final, because it was such an amazing ride. While Madrid were just, unfortunately, psychologically a level above, and it made players like Loris Karius crumble. So while Madrid stayed calm and their defense was immense that day, I was so pissed off. We looked slow compared to their defense. And it was very annoying when we had such incredible players on the pitch. Salah going off early is one thing, bringing on Lallana, but we still had Firmino, we still had Mane, we still had some great players. And we just, I mean, Mane scores that one goal that gives us some hope at 1-1. Didn't make a dent at the end. It just ended up being 3-1. So who I reckon is going to be one of those games psychologically, a Tottenham player is going to carry us. Carry us them, sorry.
Oh, let's hope.
Sounds bad, but that's how I feel. So yeah, that's the story of the final, I reckon. It's all a bit scary. I can't even think about it too much.
Oh man, I'm starting to sweat again.
I know. Have you found a spot for the final? Where are you going to be watching it?
I was looking at going into the city. I've got a friend who's coming down from Albury, so shout out to Ed.
Ed.
But unfortunately, it's very similar to the situation in Sydney, where it's a very early arrival time.
Are you going to the Impey? Where are you going?
We were thinking about it, but we're actually going to watch it back at mine.
Cool. Yeah.
So we're going to do that, but then we've got a few other people who are going to come around as well, I think, which will be nice.
Oh, that'll
so we'll
be
have
awesome.
A good atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Get the drinks flowing early, and hopefully see you at a fantastic 90 minutes.
And we could actually kind of sing that song, even though it's a Sunday morning, where we can go the Saturday night, and I like the way you move.
Divock Origi.
He cuts inside and he slots it past the Spurs.
Divock Origi.
Na 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 na. Sick. I can't wait. It's going to be amazing. So yeah, it's Sunday morning for us. For those of you that give a shit, I'm sure you don't. It's 5 a.m. I'm going to be in Cheers Bar late evening Saturday. And yeah, bit of a wait for the final, bit of a nervous few trips to the bathroom, I think. But man, it's going to be huge. Let us know where you're going to be watching. Be interesting to know where people of Reds around the world are going to be. So I'm going to put it all together. But James, thank you for an amazing pod. I think we've actually been going for over an hour, which felt like 5 minutes. So.
Yeah, it's flown by, but thank you for your time, and up the Reds.
Up the Reds, boys and girls. So thanks a lot for listening, everyone. We got two more pods coming this week. So one in Baba Yaga, as I said, is happening tomorrow. So you should hear it in the airwaves Wednesday at the latest. And then I've got another one with the boys, Nick and Peter Kafinas, coming later on the week. View from the West. I don't know what they're going to call it. we'll see what they come up with. So we got plenty of content for you to listen to. So thanks a lot for everyone. Thanks, James. Once again, you're a legend. And thanks, everyone, for your questions. One more time, for those of you who want to know, please go check out imperiouswealth.com.au if you want to see how you can do saving tax on your pensions for you returning UK and Irish folks and the expats. And go and check out the 10th Letter Weddings. That is Jay Patel, who's an amazing photographer. Thanks, everyone. A very good day and night, and goodbye.